Hello and welcome to episode 19 of Talking Points with Dave Parkinson and Adrian Jackson. In this edition of the LoveRugbyLeague.com podcast, we've got our usual look at Australia, the amateur game and everything that went on last weekend in Championship 1, Championship and Super League. We've also got a look ahead to next weekend's action in the Challenge Cup and all around the Championship and all the news which is happening around the game. We've also got your discussion points. And as usual, we'll take your thoughts in fan points. But first of all, Adrian, I wanted to take in the goings on down under. I know we always start down under, don't we?
We do.
And it was round 10 of the NRL. I'll flash through the results. Canterbury Bulldogs 10, St George Illawarra 15, Penrith Panthers 33, Brisbane Broncos 10, Melbourne Storm 12, Canberra Raiders 20, South Sydney Rabbitohs 29, West Tigers 18, North Queensland Cowboys 40, Parramatta Eels 26, Newcastle Knights 16, New Zealand Warriors 25, Cronulla Sharks 18, Sydney Roosters 4, and just played earlier on Monday, Gold Coast Titans 12, Manly Sea Eagles 16. And looking at those results, I think, Adrian, bit of a surprising one when you consider what's going on at Penrith Panthers. They're going to be having a new coach there next season, aren't they? And yet suddenly they've started picking up a bit of form and they absolutely battered Brisbane.
They did a good result for them, wasn't it? There's always the talk of a new coach. It's always going to inspire players to produce something that they haven't produced in recent weeks. And then with them knowing that a new coach might be on the way in, it's all about them trying to make a first impression. And they did that with a good scoreline against the Brisbane Broncos.
Now, sadly, it wasn't all good news for the Panthers because Michael Gordon, he was their exciting fullback, 27 years old. Everyone was tipping him as perhaps a bit of an outsider for the Origin selections. Sadly, he's out for the season. He's ruptured an anterior cruciate ligament. Ouch.
Oh, that's painful. One scoreline that stood out for me was Canberra Raiders. They haven't won a game in 8 matches. So to go to Melbourne Storm and come away with the points, they'd be quite happy with that and they'd be looking to kick on.
Outstanding result, really, that, wasn't it? It was one for the defence and they really did defend well. And to restrict Melbourne Storm and the galaxy of stars, if you like, to just 12 points speaks volumes of that effort, doesn't it?
The Sharks, that's Cronulla Sharks, they finally showed some teeth with a win against Sydney Roosters.
Individual performance of the round for me, though, Adrian, was Jonathan Thurston for the North Queensland Cowboys. He scored 2 tries and kicked 6 goals, so he's well on form, isn't he?
Yeah, good news for Australia is bad news for England.
Certainly is. Now, just looking at something else which has cropped up in the news over in Australia, I'll come to some news concerning Englishmen in a minute, but I wanted to run through the New South Wales team. It's again that time of year where everybody gets excited. We touched on it last week, didn't we, where I said I was going to be sporting the maroon and you were putting on the blues, weren't you?
Only because I like blue. That's the band, by the way, not the colour.
Well, the Blues, that's New South Wales. Their coach Ricky Stewart has named his 17-man squad for the first State of Origin game on the 25th of May. And it includes 5 debutants: Jamie Soward, Dean Young, Trent Merrin, Josh Duggan and Akuila Uarte.
I'm glad you said that and not me.
You say that every time I've got a tricky name to try and pronounce. Now, it's quite a good lineup. That. I think certainly Uarte is one of the most exciting players at the moment currently in the NRL. He's a big try-scoring player. Played for Fiji in the last World Cup.
Yeah, Australia just have this canny knack of unearthing some good talent, don't they? The conveyor belt just never seems to be drying up.
Yeah, and you look at the lineup and it's Duggan at fullback, Brett Morris and Uarte on the wings, Michael Jennings and Mark Gasney are at centre. That's one backline that's going to test the best, isn't it?
Yeah, a lot of experience there. Even though Jennings is a youngster, he's got a few games under his belt.
Soward and Mitchell Pearce, they're the halfbacks. So the forwards are Jason King, Michael Ennis, Cade Snowden, Bo Scott, Greg Bird. That man did play for the Catalan Dragons a couple of years ago, didn't he?
Is that Bo Scott selector?
That was Ricky Stewart. He was the main selector, wasn't he? And Paul Gallen. Now, I rate Paul Gallen. I think he's the real workhorse of that Australian pack. And he follows in a good line of loose forwards. I'm thinking people like Fitzgibbon, who's been there down the years.
Yeah, every decent pack always has to have a workhorse who's going to go that extra yard for the cause, and in a play of his ability, he's certainly up there, isn't he?
Ben Cray, Trent Merrin, Tim Manor and Dean Young are on the bench, and I was very surprised because there was no Jared Hayne.
Shows you the strength and depth in Australia.
I don't think he was very happy, though, because, I mean, he's certainly pulled out his tripe over the last couple of weeks for the City v Country origin game, and sadly didn't make it to the top of the selectors' wish list.
Well, he'll be hoping to put that behind him, kick on for the rest of the season, and get to wear the gold and green of Australia.
Now, what are your thoughts on perhaps some reintroducing a origin concept over here? It kind of didn't really take off, did it, between Lancashire and Yorkshire, or was it not given the time?
Yeah, everyone remembers the ill-fated origin games that were taking place over here a couple of years ago. They were promoted as the War of the Roses. To me, it wasn't given a lot of time to settle in and bed into the minds of rugby league fans alike. And to be honest with you, I don't think that element would have worked anyway, because if you're going to go with a Lancashire side, you've got to have clubs playing within Lancashire, and no one plays in Lancashire anymore.
That's quite a good point, that. But are you a fan of this England against Exiles, then?
I am, yes, because obviously England and Great Britain, when they were going as a nation of that name as well, and we came up against New Zealand and Australia, just weren't quite up to it, were we? And over here, no disrespect to Scotland, Ireland, France and Wales, they don't have the same talent and intensity that Australia and New Zealand can produce for England to play against. But with that in mind, the RFL struck an idea up of coming up with international players who are playing within Super League. Why not?
Where does this leave France, though? I mean, they brought Catalan Dragons into the Super League with the sole purpose of really boosting the French game. And it just hasn't worked in that manner, has it? Because they've given them a couple of seasons, they've tonked them a couple of times in the middle of the season, and then that's it.
I think the problem lies with French International Rugby League with the fact that there is only one team, and that's Catalan Dragons within Super League. Bearing in mind that once you take their players out of the equation, what you're left with are basically championship players. We can see how difficult that is. When championship clubs play Super League clubs in the Challenge Cup, they just can't match it for the full 80 minutes, can they? So when France play at international level, if they haven't got a strong Catalan Dragons element within the squad, it's just a training match for England. So I think the key to success for France is to try and maybe get another team within Super League. If we can introduce another team to help Catalan Dragons at a Super League level, that'll obviously improve the chances of French International Rugby League being able to match England. But at the minute, that isn't the case. So the RFL have got to come up with this idea of an Exiles International.
The fans, though, they would back it, I think. I mean, certainly you've got to look at the French Grand Final. There was almost 12,000 people at the French Grand Final, wasn't there, between Lezignan and Limoux. Just for interest, for those people who will be wondering what was happening in that game, Lezignan actually won the championship by 17 points to 12 in a bit of a thriller minute ride.
Cracking game of rugby league, and a good advert for French rugby league, bearing in mind it was shown on telly for the first time in 15 years in France.
Yeah, and it was on the internet as well. I don't know whether you caught it. Sadly, I was out on Saturday when it took place, but I know certainly a couple of people that I know watched it, and they said it was a pretty good standard. They were impressed. Our other bit of news from Australia comes courtesy of Gareth Widdop. Now you're thinking, Gareth Widdop, he was the young player who played at full-back for England. He's just agreed a new two-year contract with Melbourne Storm with a one-year option. So it's doubtful that he'll be popping up in Super League anytime soon.
No, not for the foreseeable future anyway, but I can see young Widdop making the trek over here to play in Super League at some point within his career.
What do you make of him so far? Because I know England have used him as a fullback, but yeah, he seems to be making his name in the NRL as a standoff.
Well, he obviously has some talent for him to get a two-year deal within the NRL, and obviously he's highly rated by his club to be given such an opportunity. And with the great players and coaches that he's around, he's going to be learning all the time, isn't he?
And he says that he's settled as well over there. He's got a young fiance, he's got a young son as well. You know, it's going to take a lot to get him to actually come over here, I think, isn't it?
Money talks.
You're quite right there. Cross my palm with silver. LoveRugbyLeague.com for all your rugby league needs. In the National Conference League, it was a continuation of the playoffs, and it was Lee East taking on Loughborough Hornets and Siddle taking on Vato Heath Crusaders. Now, we'll go with that game that I've just mentioned, first of all, Siddle, because they were fantastic. I mean, this is a team who overtook the lot over the course of the season. they probably weren't expecting to do that quite as well as they have done up around Christmas time when they languished in third or fourth position, but they really have risen to the top of the tree. And to be fair, they absolutely battered that Oyeth Crusaders, 40 points to 8.
I suppose within the amateur game, that's a surprising scoreline. Cause was that first versus second in that game?
It was, yeah. You usually expect a really close-run thing. But having said that, we saw it in the Championship finals last year, didn't we? When I think it was Featherstone Rovers put quite a big score on Halifax, and then it was all nip and tuck in the grand final, wasn't it? So there has been precedents before, hasn't there, where teams have turned it round. Siddle scored tries through Simeonovic. Scott Cayley, who scored 4, McCormack, Boothroyd and Hook, with Blackburn kicking 4 goals. Dato Heath's only reply came courtesy of 2 tries, former Widnes and Doncaster winger Darren Woods and James Clark grabbing those. Over at Lee East, it was an altogether more brutal affair. I think this was played in torrential rain, which doesn't help.
No, not good for handling when it's raining.
That one finished Lee East 16 points, Wathbrow Hornets 0. Just 3 tries scored in it, all of them going to Lee East through Taylor, Killshaw and Wilcox. Dootson kicking 2 goals. And they've done well, Lee East. They've kind of turned it round, haven't they? They've got themselves on a bit of a roll. But they'll have to be really at the top of the game if they're going to beat that Oyeth Crusaders, who, to be honest, they'll be smarting after such a heavy defeat.
Yeah, second bite of the cherry for Fato Heath, so they'll be going all guns blazing against Lee East to try and get themselves in the final against Siddle and maybe get some revenge.
It's going to be an interesting tie, whatever happens, and then Siddle awaits the winners. Oh dear, oh dear, that's going to be a toughie as well. Have you visited our new live score service? Everyone's talking about it. LoveRugbyLeague.com. Moving on to the championships, and we'll start with Championship 1 as we normally do. And I'll just run through the score lines first of all. London Scholars 12, Workington Town 33. Doncaster 20, Keighley Cougars 24, South Wales Scorpions 40, Oldham 20, Whitehaven 22, Swinton Lions 22, and Rochdale Hornets 68, Gateshead Thunder 0.
Game of the weekend was Whitehaven versus Swinton, even though Swinton are top of the pile in Championship 1. Swear Whitehaven are matching and win for win, aren't they? So, honours shared maybe, but it's a good all-round game and a good 2 points for both teams.
I think Whitehaven will be looking at that one perhaps as a moral victory because they came from 8 points behind at half-time to actually level things up in the end.
Whatever was said at the half-time team talk, it obviously worked wonders, didn't it? Because it was Whitehaven who had the better of the second half and Swinton, in the end, were hanging on.
They certainly were. Tries there from Palfrey, BT, Hamza and Calvert for Whitehaven. Palfrey kicking 3 goals in addition to his try. And Swinton Lions, they had tries from Gavin Dodd, Martin Ainscoe and Ian Mortu scored 2 tries and he also kicked 3 goals as well, but it was on assured.
Keighley Cougars put their cup defeat at the hands of Warrington behind them with a return to victory against a really plucky Doncaster team.
Yeah, Doncaster, they actually led 14 points to 4 at half-time. Now, Doncaster, they've been under a little bit of a cloud over the past week because their captain, Sean Leaf, has got himself embroiled in a big betting scandal, which was reported in one of the daily newspapers. So to actually put that behind them and go in front 14 points to 4 perhaps speaks volumes of the rest of the squad there at Doncaster and the way that they pulled together.
Well, I tipped them to be really struggling at the bottom of the table and looking at their position at the minute, I might be proved right.
They are starting,
they're on the downward spiral.
They are starting to slip down there, aren't they? Yes, you said that with such triumphance after they won the first 3 games of the season. They've now lost 5 on the bounce and you wouldn't have taken any bets against that one, would you?
No. Big scoreline for Rochdale Hornets, by the way. John Stankovic would have been smiling on Sunday night, having seen his charges defeat Gateshead 68-0. And Gateshead, it's just not happened for them this season.
Definitely not, no. They've got a plucky set of local youngsters, but they just don't seem to have the quality or the cutting edge, really, to test a lot of these sides. And it does make you think that the RFL are quite right in getting some of the amateur clubs to perhaps step on board and form a National League 3, because Gateshead Thunder, they'd be able to compete with those clubs, and they certainly can't compete with anybody at Championship 1 level at the minute.
One team that is struggling at the minute, and surprisingly as well, it's Oldham, going down 40 points to 20 to them, and that's their 5th defeat of the season.
This was a huge defeat as far as Oldham are concerned, because, I mean, South Wales Scorpions, they're another team. They've been scoring a lot of points, but they've not really broken that many pots this season, have they? They've only won 3 of the first nine games of the season. And, you know, to put on so many tries as well. I think they scored seven tries in that one, did the South Wales Scorpions. Oldham boss Tony Benson just wouldn't have been happy with that at all. And they were really in it. They trailed 22-10 at half-time. Got themselves an early try in the second half, did Oldham. But after that, it was all South Wales Scorpions.
Workington Town went down to the capital and London Scholars. A bit like Gateshead, not happening for them this year. And he's still yet to win a game.
To be fair to the Scholars, though, they have shown evidence of competing with teams. I mean, this one was 12-all at half-time. Two tries each in the first half. Anthony and Adebisi scoring for London Scholars. Two goals from Ski, who played for Harlequins a couple of seasons ago. Played at Whitehaven last year. But Workington Town, they gradually overcame it, didn't they? They got themselves into a really good position. They've welcomed Darren Holt back from his stint in Rugby Union. We're led to believe this is his final season as a professional, but he's been saying that for the past three seasons, and he keeps pulling on the shirt every other year. But he kicked six goals and kicked a drop goal, and I bet he played that second half like he was in a dinner jacket.
Well, what does that mean to the division and the top seven? It's Swinton, Keighley, Rochdale, Workington, Whitehaven, Oldham, and currently Doncaster.
It's all looking quite tight, though, because, I mean, if Doncaster start picking up a couple of points, they'll soon replace Oldham, won't they, in that position? But you tipped it. They're on a bit of a downward spiral at the moment.
Now, because of the Challenge Cup this weekend, there's only one game in the Championship one. That sees Gateshead Thunder playing South Wales Scorpions.
Now, a couple of weeks ago, I would have thought this one would have been quite a close one, to be honest. But South Wales Scorpions, at least they're scoring the points. Gateshead Thunder just don't seem to be able to get through any of the defences, so I'm tipping another hefty victory there for South Wales Scorpions, I'm afraid. Follow us on Facebook, loverugbyleague.com.
Round 9 of the Cooperative Championship results as follows. Barrow Raiders 34, York City Knights 12, Dewsbury Rams 34, Widnes Vikings 34, Featherstone Rovers 30, Halifax 18, Sheffield Eagles 8, Leeds Centurions 44, Toulouse 28, Huntsford Hawks 6. And first of all, David, a big victory for Leeds Centurions against an informed Sheffield team.
Yeah, big victory for Leeds Centurions. It all started off so promisingly for the Eagles because they went ahead after 9 minutes, kicked a goal through Simon Brown, and were looking quite solid, but Lee eventually got the better of them, scored three tries before the half-time break to really take a stranglehold, led 26 points to 2. And then, although Sheffield fought bravely for the majority of the second half, yeah, Sheffield Eagles, they couldn't find the cutting edge all the way through the defence until the 70th minute when Lulu Tong guy went over for a try underneath the posts. But Lee finished strongly, scored three tries after that, and eventually wrapped up a 44-8 victory with Martin Ridyard and Jamie Ellis, the halfbacks, really controlling things.
Repeat of last year's grand final, Featherstone Rovers versus Halifax, and despite Brian Noble coming in to help out Matt Calland in the coaching role, couldn't get the victory they were looking for.
Same old, really, for Halifax. They were very inconsistent, trailed 20 points to 6 at half-time, Featherstone getting away to a great start, Bostock scoring, Hepworth grabbing a couple of tries, Worthington, Dale and Powell were the other try scorers, with Liam Finn kicking three goals. Halifax did respond in the second half to get themselves back within a bonus point territory. Jones, White, Bannister scoring tries, with Patterson kicking three goals. But it was only just enough to take them off the bottom of the table.
Yeah, Featherstone Rovers getting revenge for that grand final defeat at the hands of Halifax in 2010. Cracking game at the Tetley Stadium on Sunday, Dewsbury Rams versus Widnes Vikings, and I think Widnes Vikings will be looking at this as 3 points lost rather than 2 points gained.
Yeah, I mean, they would have been hoping to go really to Dewsbury and really set a marker down for the rest of the season. I mean, when you go to that ground, it's always going to be a tight game because of the dimensions of the pitch and the fact that they've got a couple of really good kickers of the ball of Dewsbury. They've got Dominic Brambani, who's in good form with the boot, and also his half-back partner, Pat Walker. And when you factor that into the fact that they've got a couple of hefty front-row forwards as well, they're always a difficult team to beat.
Good draw for Dewsbury, but I think they'll be disappointed the fact they threw away a 16-0 lead.
Yeah, I mean, they got away to a really good start, and I guess Warren Jarrett will be kicking himself, really, because you'll be hoping if you can get into a 16-0 advantage, you should really go on and make that game yours, shouldn't you? And they let that slip, they trailed by 16 points to 24 at half time. Although it has to be said, Widnes Vikings fighting back well, didn't they?
They did, and Huntsville Hawks, they went to the south of France to take on Toulouse, and you'd have to say a bit of a surprising result this, because Toulouse haven't been playing the best rugby league, to say the least.
Yeah, I didn't expect Toulouse to get away to such a big win, to be honest. I mean, 28-6 sounds quite resounding, and at half-time it was 16 points to 4. Toulouse, they've got Darren Nichols, who's a bit of an ace in the pack for them, isn't it? He scored a try and kicked 4 goals, and a good performance there from Johan Tisserie as well, scoring 2 tries, and Hunslet only scoring 1 try through Wayne Price, and it's not good enough, I'm afraid, for the Hawks. They've got Lee coming up next.
That's going to be a tough one for them. Battle Raiders, Nigel Wright's men will be happy to get the victory against York, who seem to be finding life a little bit tough in the Championship.
They have struggled. I don't know quite where it is, whether they've just not been able to recruit the players to really compete consistently at Championship level. If you look at the league table, they're actually conceding the most points at the moment, but they have been competitive for large patches of their games. They just, again, don't seem to have the way through or the wherewithal to actually break down defences, and I'm sure this will be where the signing of Anthony Thackeray will really help them over the coming weeks as he gets used to his new surroundings. Barrow Raiders, though, they are slipping back into form, aren't they? I think ever since Easter, and perhaps a turning point in their season was actually going to Featherstone the week before Easter and taking a bit of a pummeling there, because ever since then they've been excellent. They've really hit back. They've put on 4 wins in 5 games. They're one of the form teams at the moment, and yeah, Nigel Wright's doing a good job up there. Ballard scoring tries for fun at the moment, grabbed another 2, and any side which contains Jamie Rooney, you're going to have to watch closely.
Top 6 in the Championship, it's Lee and Featherston level pegging at the top. Batley 3rd, Barrow 4th, Widnes 5th, Sheffield 6th. And it's pretty tight in the Championship because Barrow, Widnes and Sheffield are all locked on 15 points. We've got 2 teams locked at the bottom on 7 points, that's Halifax and Toulouse.
Surprising that both of those sides, really, to be honest, are still at the bottom after so many matches. We're now 8 games into the season, we're nearly halfway through, and alarm bells must be ringing for those two clubs.
Surely you won't be thinking about relegation at Halifax, will you?
Well, nobody thought that Lee would go down the other year. I know events eventually conspired against them, but they did get relegated, and everybody said, nah, Lee won't get relegated, and they only lost 5 in the bounce. Now, Halifax, they're running into some awful form at the moment.
Due to the Challenge Cup, we've got a reduced fixture for round 10 of the Championship. It's Batley versus York, Barrow Raiders take on Dewsbury Rams, Halifax take on Sheffield, and it's Lee Centurions versus Hunslet Hawks.
Again, I'm looking at that Halifax and Sheffield game as a big one this coming weekend. I think certainly Halifax, they've got to start winning. They've got to start turning it round soon. They are a side who, we know, can score points for fun, but they also have a defence that's like a sieve, and no matter what work Brian Noble is doing in the background there, I can't see him being able to turn it round in such a short space of time. By all accounts, he wasn't even actually at the game at Featherstone on Sunday, so his commitments to that position are more of a part-time basis. So, I don't know, but Sheffield Eagles, they were smarting after conceding all those points against Lee. They're not a bad side, Sheffield, but they need to help themselves. They need to start playing Lulu Tonga guy out there at standoff, because he looks like he is a real key player for them. If they can get him running, they can get the pack moving, they can get Andrew Henderson picking up the quick runs from dummy half. They'll go close to causing a shock. And to be honest, Sheffield Eagles, they did actually beat Halifax at Bramall Lane earlier this season. Come and talk Rugby League in our forums. loverugbyleague.com.
Round 14 of the Super League. It's Crusaders 23, Wakefield 10, Huddersfield Giants 40, St Helens 18, Hawkinson Rovers 46, Bradford Bulls 18, Leeds Rhinos 30, Castleland Dragons 6, Salford City Reds 16, Hull FC 32, Warrington Wolves 62, Casford Tigers 0, Wigan Warriors 54, Harlequins 6, and just looking at that scoreline between Wigan and Harlequins, the wheels have well and truly come off at Harlequins.
Oh, they definitely have come off, haven't they? I mean, they're looking for a new car. I think things have gone that bad at Harlequins. They just can't seem to put any pressure on anybody at the moment. And if they don't watch out, the way that the bottom clubs are starting to pick up the points here and there, Harlequins could well be sucked in to fighting out for the wooden spoon, couldn't they?
After a bright start to the season, Bradford Bulls really are struggling. Hutchinson Rovers getting the big scoreline against them.
Yeah, Bradford, they seem to do certain parts of their game very, very well. And yet, at other times, they can be absolutely horrendous. And it just seems that the part of the game that is really letting them down is the tackling. And it's like, I don't know what they practice at training there at the Bulls, but it certainly doesn't look like it's defence with the way that they're conceding points at the moment. I mean, Halifax, with all due respect to them, scored 34 points against them in the Challenge Cup last week. Hull Kingston Rovers have put 46 points on them. What are Wigan going to do to them this weekend in the Cup? That's what I'm wanting to know. At the moment, things just are getting from bad to worse for Bradford.
Just get the impression that Leeds Rhinos are slowly getting back to the Leeds Rhinos that we all know and love.
Yeah, this was a bit of a more competitive game than what we expected, actually. I thought, certainly when I saw Catalan Dragons last week take on Leeds Centurions, they weren't all that impressive. And I just thought that if Leeds could get at them early on, they would break them down and they would actually score a panful of points against them. But it didn't really work out that way. Leeds Rhinos leading just 6 points to nil at half-time. A try from Ryan Hall in the first half, converted by Kevin Sinfield, being the only thing to trouble the scorers there at Headingley. But the second half, I think last 20 minutes told really on Catalan Dragons. Leeds ended up going 12-6 in front and then just extended that lead in the last 10 minutes. They got away from them, ended up winning quite convincingly in the end.
A Danny Brough-inspired Huddersfield Giants proved to be too strong for St Helens.
Yeah, Danny Brough is playing some tremendous rugby at the moment. I'm sure that must really smack the chops of Scotland coach Steve McCormack, because he's turned his back on them, hasn't he? And he's said, I want to play for England, which, you know my thoughts on this, Adrian. I'm not keen on players doing that and turning the back on international selection when they've been representing a country. I think you should stick with that country all the way through. But taking that away, Danny Brough is a fantastic player at the moment. He's probably the form halfback of Super League. Everything runs through him. And I also thought that Kevin Brown had a very influential game. St Helens, they just ran out of numbers. They handed another debut to a youngster called Scott Hale, who didn't disgrace himself at all. And in Roby, they probably had the best player on the field, in all honesty, because he was tremendous. He was like a machine. He came up with something like 40 tackles, took the ball up 40 times and made 200 metres. So when you're looking at those stats, you're looking down the rest of that St Helens team and you're thinking at the moment, who else is there to do the work? Because he seems to be doing it for everybody.
One team that's improving week by week are Hull FC, and despite Salford going down, they'd be disappointed to have lost that game to Hull FC, but Richard Agar, he'd be more than happy.
Yeah, they're on the way up, aren't they, Hull FC, after a real torrid time of it over the first sort of eight to 9 weeks of the season. I think a couple of weeks ago, and certainly the Easter period has been the actual point in time where Hull FC have thought, we're going to play a bit, and they can play a bit. They've got some good players. They're certainly running through the points at the moment. Gleeson seems to have given them a bit more cut and thrust, if you like, out there in the centre, scored a couple of tries for them, and I noticed another try for Yeaman, which keeps him on top of the scoring charts in Super League. Salford City Reds, they'll be disappointed, I think. They've been an improved side of late. Phil Vivas certainly hasn't playing for each other, but they were always up against it when they trailed 24-10 at half time and found that a little bit too much to breach. But we spotted it the other week. Adam Clay, he's taken to first team rugby like a duck to water, hasn't he? And he keeps coming up with the tries. And as long as that keeps happening for the lad, he's going to stay on that Salford wing, isn't he?
Yet another big scoreline for Warrington Wolves. That's about the fifth time they've brought the half century points in the season so far, and no one was expecting such a big scoreline against what has been a decent Castleford team.
Well, you can't really say much about Castleford in that game, can you? Because they just didn't show up. I think they must have thought that they were playing camouflage. You would have thought actually it was Castleford who were playing in camouflage, because they didn't seem to know each other, let alone the opposition. They were absolutely terrible. I know it didn't help them with Paul Jackson being ruled out in the warm-up and all that disruption that causes, but Warrington were fantastic. They played some real solid rugby. I mean, you were there, Adrian. What did you think of the Wolves?
It was a typical Warrington game of rugby league, wasn't it? All attack and plenty of strong work in defence as well. And in the half-back pairing of Lee Brays and the youngster Gareth O'Brien, certainly with Gareth O'Brien, they've unearthed a really special talent.
He is. He's a talented player. And he's making it look so easy at the moment, isn't he? He's making it look as well that they're not actually, or they don't seem to be, missing Myler at the minute.
Competition's going to be hot for places, certainly at Warrington Wolves, when all the players are back and fit and ready for selection.
Hodgson scored a try and kicked 7 goals before limping out of the action. But I noticed a couple of tries there for Griggs. He settled in well, didn't he?
Yeah, he's had a tough time of it, as Simon Griggs, with the illness that he had at the back end of last year. So he's come back, he's fully fit, he's ready and raring to go. And he's taking his chance, and that's what we've got to do at Warrington. It's that hot for competition for places. Once you get the shirt, you've got to earn it, and you've got to keep that. You've got to make sure your performance is consistently good week in, week out, because if it's not, you could be out. I suppose the most popular try tonight was David Solomona's.
Oh, yeah, he's always a popular try scorer, isn't he? And the way he romped in as well, he was like a 2-year-old striding through, wasn't he?
The bottom two went head-to-head at Wrexham, and despite Wakefield being 10-0 up, John Kerr, if he had her, he would have lost it by the end of that game, because he lost 23-10.
This was an unbelievable scoreline for me. I mean, you think Wakefield winning 10-0 at half-time, couple of tries for Morton, a goal for Griffin. They're well placed to go on and grab a result in that second half, but it didn't happen. Crusaders levelling things up at 10-all, dropping a goal through Michael Waite, and then ending the game in some supreme fashion. I think it was 2 tries in the last 4 minutes, wasn't it?
O'Hara and Hanbury both getting the tries that really won the game for the Crusaders. And Yeston Harris to be pleased to get back to winning ways, because Crusaders have struggled in recent games.
They have struggled in recent games, yeah. But I think that they have got some pretty useful players of the Crusaders. And once the grounds start to firm up, obviously they are starting to do that now, perhaps we will see a slightly different Crusaders side, and one which is going to challenge more often.
At halfway stage of the season, the top 8, it's Warrington and Huddersfield locked, with Wigan Warriors at the top of the tree. St Helens, Leeds Rhinos, Castleford, Caslan Dragons and the Hull FC are in 8th place. Bottom of the pile are the Crusaders, who are currently holding the wooden spoon.
Now, we debated last week about whether there should be a change in structure to the Challenge Cup because of hefty scorelines. There's been a few hefty scorelines in Super League. Are we going to debate that we should split Super League in two?
I can't see the RFL going down that road, but yeah, it's certainly got everyone talking, hasn't it? Because there are some big scorelines.
I think, to be honest as well, there is 2 divisions which are emerging in this, aren't there? You've got basically the top 8 who are all beating each other, and then the bottom sort of 6 who are competing with each other and getting battered by the top 8.
It's all about that word about consistency, and
some have got it and some haven't.
Some have got it, some haven't. Also as well, we're always striving for a more intense and competitive league every year, aren't we? And we're getting there slowly, but at the minute, you're right, there are 2 divisions within the one league there.
I think we've got it as far as the top 8 are concerned, because they seem to be taking points off each other, don't they, and playing some really good games against each other. But I don't know, I still think that something needs to be done to bring the bottom end of Super League up to standard. Now, I wish I knew or had further ideas. I don't know whether it should involve more development, whether you turn around to him and say, well, you go and spend a bit more on the cap, perhaps, or I don't know, because, I mean, you look at some of the attendances as well, and they surely don't warrant full-time teams. I mean, 3,200 at Crusaders, that's not going to pay the bills, is it?
Certainly that attendance isn't good enough for Super League, and the Crusaders will be aware of that, and they'll be going all out to try and improve their fan base, and I'm sure, given time, those attendances will improve in Wrexham. But we're in Super League 16 at the minute, and we're still striving for that competitive all-in-one league, aren't we? Now, maybe by Super League 20, we might have it.
Perhaps 32, we might have a competitive Super League, I don't know. But, yeah, don't get me wrong, I'm not just picking on Crusaders. They've posted the lowest crowd in the Super League this particular week. But, I mean, Salford City Reds weren't much better, less than 4,000 there.
No, the problem for them is they replicate that attendance next season, they're going to have 20,000 empty seats.
They could do, although having said that, having drove past where they're actually building their new stadium at Salford, it doesn't look like it's going to be quite that grand. I think that they've actually scaled back the plans, so to speak. They're reckoning it's going to be something like a 12,000 capacity stadium, but I still take your point, it's still only going to be a quarter full, isn't it?
Super League takes a bit of a rest this weekend as the Challenge Cup takes precedence in the World of Rugby League in the UK, round 5 of the Carnegie Challenge Cup. It's Leeds Rhinos versus Harlequins, Salford City Reds versus Hulkington Rovers, Warrington Wolves versus Swinton Lions, Wakefield Trinity Wildcats versus Castleford, Widnes Vikings versus Hull FC, Bradford Bulls versus Wigan, Huddersfield Giants versus Catalan Dragons, St Helens versus Feversham Rovers, a place in the quarter final of the Carnegie Challenge Cup. It is up for grabs this weekend.
It's getting interesting, isn't it? Looking down those fixtures, certainly. Oh, Salford City Reds and Hull Kingston Rovers. Hull Kingston Rovers, which one will turn up? The one that's been getting beat by 40 points, or the one that put 40 points on Bradford? That's the interesting stat down there.
Is that word consistency coming into
it? Yeah, you could say the same for Salford City Reds. Will we see the side which went down and won so well in London? Or will we see the side which turned up and got tonked at home against St Helens at the start of the season? But there is some big games. The one I'm looking forward to, actually, is Saturday's televised match between Wakefield and Castleford.
Now, we all love a derby game, and this is certainly one of them.
Now, the last time these sides met was just around the Easter period, and over at Castleford, Wakefield came back from 24 points to 4 down with just 16 minutes left to play to actually win it 28-24. And if we have an ending like that, my goodness, we're in for a treat, aren't we?
Yeah, it should be a great game of rugby league on the TV. And the one the day after, Bradford Bulls versus Wigan Warriors. For me, I can just see that just being a straightforward Wigan win.
I think that's going to be a damp squib, that one. I think Wigan will just prove so strong for them. I mean, they put on plenty of points against Harlequins, didn't they? And Pat Richards has come back. He's playing like he's never been away. 2 tries, 9 goals last weekend. I wonder what his points tell he's going to be this weekend.
Now, we're looking for a cup upset, because we always love an upset in the cup. 2 Championship clubs and a Championship 1 club going head-to-head against Super League opposition. Swinton Lions against Warrington. Swinton going well in the Championship 1, but they're going to have the hands full against Warrington Wolves, surely. As for Widnes, they'll be fancying the chances against Hull FC, but if they're going to do that, they need to, 1, get off to a good start, 2, play to the best of their ability for the full 80 minutes.
And 3, they need to forget about the awful effort that they put in last week, because that was just not good enough, really, against Dewsbury, was it?
No, not at all. So Dennis Betts' men will be hoping and confident that they can get the win against Hull FC. St Helens versus Feversham Rovers, if there's any chance of an upset, I think it might happen there. Because St Helens got plenty of injuries and Feversham Rovers are a fine team in the Championship.
Well, actually, yeah, you do sort of make an intriguing point there, and a good point for the defence. I'm going to say no, though. I'm going to still say that St Helens youngsters will still have too much for Featherstone's Championship chasers. But, you know, looking down that, I've got 2 words to say for this coming weekend. Come on, Swinton! In fact, that's 3, isn't it? That's 3 words. So, maths has never been my strong point. It's why I've ended up broadcasting on podcast instead.
Yeah, good luck to all the teams, and we'll find out who's in the quarterfinal draw after the games on Sunday.
Follow us on Twitter. Love Rugby League.
Let's talk about some news within the world of rugby league, and I suppose the big story this week has got to be the reintroduction of Gareth Hawke to the world of rugby league, and without even kicking a ball in anger for 2 years, he's got himself a 5-year deal with Wigan Warriors.
Tell you what, his agent's worked him a right good one there, hasn't he? It's very interesting, I think. I mean, I don't actually begrudge Gareth Hawke coming back into the game. I mean, we've seen players in the past who have had misdemeanours off the field, they've had drugs bans, they've come back from it, they've moved on, haven't they? But I just get the feeling that Super League has also moved on since Gareth Hawke hasn't been playing it. Will he be able to get up back to the same levels that he was at previously? Was he even at a great level before? That's a bigger question. But obviously somebody in Wigan...
Are you trying to say Gareth Hawke was overrated?
Well, possibly so, yeah. I mean, he's got a nice offload on him, and yeah, he runs well, but I don't know. He wasn't that consistent. I hope, for his sake, that he's been able to add that consistency to his game, that he's been working hard in the gym or during his time away from the sport, and that he'll come back a more reformed character. But I don't know. I think it's an interesting signing, that one, for Wigan. What are your views on it?
Watch this space, that's all I can say. Yeah, he has been away for 2 years, but we don't know what he's been doing during those 2 years. He's obviously kept himself in good nick, or Wigan wouldn't have committed themselves to 5 years. Me personally, if it had been me making the decision at Wigan Warriors, I'd have given him a 1-year deal, fair enough, with the option of earning himself a longer deal should he fulfil what's expected of him. One player that's committed his future for St Anne's for 2 years is Tony Pulitu, and that's bad news for Warrington because his name was being linked with a move to the Halliwell Jones.
I think they'll be very pleased to get his signature on a contract there, because Tony Pulitu, over the last couple of seasons for St Helens, he's been a real good signing for them, hasn't he? And certainly when they're in the middle of this injury crisis, which you touched on before, he's leading that pack, isn't he? He's getting the offloads away. He's really setting the standard, which a lot of these young players are trying to aspire to. And I just think that's a really good move for the St Helens organisation. We touched on the story before, but Sean Leaf, what did you make of this one? I mean, we had Warren Turley in here, didn't we, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, saying that as a rugby league match official, you're not supposed to put any bets on or get involved with any type of betting whatsoever in the world of rugby league. It's the same for if you're a player, if you're a coach, if you're an administrator even within the game. And yet he's admitted, albeit to perhaps an undercover person, that this has happened. Now, there might be mitigating circumstances. I guess it's watch this space, because the rugby league have banned him.
Yeah, he's being silly, hasn't he, really? He shouldn't get involved in that kind of action within the game, as we all know. He should learn from what happened with Martin Gleeson and Sean Longley during that one with St Helens and Bradford. But he's been silly, hasn't he? And he's just got to take the consequences for his actions.
Yeah, I think I'm in agreement with that. He has been a bit of a silly lad. Let's hope he's earned the error of his ways. And I'm going to resist the biggest pun, though.
What was that?
Let's hope he can turn over a new leaf.
Some other news within the world of rugby league. Widnes Vikings, as you know, they signed Dennis Betts on a 2-year deal to be the Super League's newest coach. And his first signing was to bring Kevin Penny back to Widnes Vikings for a second loan spell.
In fact, it was quite ironic last week, wasn't it, that the three big stories were all to do with money. You've got Leaf with his betting, Betts getting his new contract, and Penny coming in.
Very clever.
I've been working on that one, you can tell, can't you?
Been a bit of an enigma as Kevin Penny, hasn't he? He hit the spotlight, dazzling style of rugby league when he made his bow with Warrington Wolves, and it's just never fulfilled that potential.
He's at risk of becoming, dare I say it, another Austin Buchanan. Or you picked him out a few weeks ago, didn't you, and said he was another player who, despite carving out a pretty good career in semi-professional rugby, he's not really took that extra step. And Kevin Penny's at risk of doing exactly the same thing, unless he can turn it round and somehow start to add to his undoubted pace. But for me, that's all that he's got. He needs to somehow look at developing his game and to try and be a bit more rugby-fied, if you like. One last bit of news that I have is from Lee Centurions, who've announced that Arthur Thomas has made the difficult decision to step down as chairman and also as a director of Lee Centurions. Reading the press release, it said, Mr. Thomas, who has been chairman since 2007, made the following comments. I feel I've taken the club as far as I can. I leave the club in a good position, both on and off the field, and it's now time for someone else to take over and lead the club to Super League. I'm going to enjoy my retirement watching Lee Centurions and wish the club well in future. With no further comment from Lee at this stage, but we were due to have Paul Rowley, the Lee assistant coach, on the show. Sadly, he couldn't make it this evening, but we have got him penciled in for next week. So I know he couldn't make it last week. I know he's not been able to make it this week, but we have got him penciled in for next week. So we're going to ask him a little bit more about what's going on at Lee.
Worrying times, isn't it, when your main money man decides he's going to have no more to do with the club. And I'm sure players and staff will be worried about the future of the club.
I mean, you've been through that a couple of times, haven't you, with look from an outsider's point of view, looking in at Widnes when they had the problems. They had Vaughan coming in, then there was all the whole thing about the club going into administration and who was going to take over. It is a worrying time, isn't it, for fans and players and everybody connected with the club alike.
It is worrying times, and you don't know what's going on. The dark clouds just seem to get darker, don't they? You just hope that the club is strong enough to come back.
Let's hope that Arthur Thomas, for Lee's sake, is able to pass that club on to better hands. LoveRugbyLeague.com. From Super League and Championships to the NRL and amateur scene, we've got it covered. Now moving on to fans points.
Oh, we love this part of the show.
It is. This is the part which I always look forward to anyway. What have you been saying out there in cyber world about the world of rugby league for us to debate and talk about here on Talking Points? Well, I started off by asking the question, Do any Doncaster fans have any points that they wanted to raise on the Sean Leaf saga? And but for Dave Finch asking did they actually have any fans, which they do, you've only got to look at their attendances. This is the,
every club has loyal fans.
They do, and they've got, and they've been loyaler than most there, haven't they? Because they've had to put up with so much down the years. And to be honest, this is what John Singer said. He agrees and says, yes, we do have loyal fans. We might only get 300, but they're there every week, win or lose. Real fans to put up with what we have had to over the last few years. But he said, oh yes, as for Leafy, it's last week's news. We're concentrating on supporting the rest of our team and get back to winning ways, starting at Workington in 2 weeks. Come on, you Doncaster.
To fair point, you just got to put that problem behind you and then concentrate with what's going on in the field. The stuff with Sean Leaf, well, that'll take care of itself, won't it?
Yeah, they can't really influence it, can they? You know, they've just got to get on with it. And by all accounts, if they respond the way that they did last weekend, then there's no reason why they can't take on Workington and look at beating them, is there?
I still say they're going to finish in the bottom half of the league.
Oh, I don't know. There I am, trying to will these Doncaster players home, and you're dashing their hopes. It all fell through. Glyn Davis says, I know he shouldn't be backing against his own team in the eyes of some people, but is it all that bad, really? Come on. It's been going on for years. Are you trying to tell me old Donny fans don't have a bet on the Rugby League Coupon on a weekend and back against their own team to win money? There's no difference whatsoever. Glyn has also made the point that he's not going to go and get his head knocked off deliberately in games for not trying. He doubts he's that thick.
He's just being silly, hasn't he? And he probably has got a point. That's probably been going on for years. But what players might do, I'm only saying might do, get the mates to put the bet on.
Is there any law against that? Perhaps we should check that with the Rugby League. John Singer said, well, we'll have to wait until the investigation is concluded. It's a good point, that, really, isn't it? John's had his say on this, I have to say, because that's his third point on the thread. So, fair play to you, John. Graham Scaife, he said that it was sounded like it was a thrilling game against the Cougars last weekend. As a Keighley fan of some years, he's got a lot of time for Doncaster. He remembers the day of another bloody Sunday. Have you ever seen that?
I have, yes. A very intriguing documentary.
Now, was that totally different from Widnes around the same time?
Without a doubt, because we're there, we're eating Spam butties, and we're on caviar.
Really? Oh, all posh sides from Widnes, eh? Eh? Rob Clayton, he says he doesn't really want to comment on the issue until the outcome. What he does say is that Leaf has been one of the most loyal players that they have had at Doncaster, and if it wasn't for this, he's sure that he would go down as one of the legends of the club. Hopefully, and he really hopes, he'll be remembered for the time he stuck by the club when it was on its knees, the time he played when it was unpaid and when they were really struggling, rather than this.
Well, that just shows you the character of the player and the high regard the fans do have for him at Doncaster.
We then asked, what were people's thoughts on the Rugby League weekend just gone? And we got a couple of responses to this. Thomas Payne said, the weekend proved that Castleford can't play with the big boys in the Super League, and he can't wait for the Mighty Warriors to play their game in hand to regain what is hopefully their rightful place. Now, it hasn't been announced yet, has it, when this game is going to take place, or has it?
No, not yet, not as far as I'm aware. But he's got a point about Castleford. It was a real harsh lesson to be learned in that game against Warrington.
They were awful. There was that 70s song, wasn't there, the Tiger Feet, and they weren't even dancing with the players. They didn't make any tackles, that's for sure. And I think Terry Matheson summed it up as he said it was embarrassing. David Balth, he's a Widnes fan, and he said, Widnes were rubbish, that is all.
He actually used his words a lot stronger than that, but we can't say him on this family podcast, but yeah, you can't disagree with what he's saying.
Kirsty, Hull Kingston Rovers new match, I wonder which team she supports. She said, Rovers against Bradford was fab. Rovers played amazing, and Bradford, well, they didn't.
Can't work out whether she's a Rovers fan or a Bradford fan there.
Mike Kelly said, Dewsbury and Widnes, the referee wasn't very good, and the Rugby League needs to look at referees because they use Twitter and they've made comments about officiating. Oh, that's interesting. I have to admit, I haven't spotted that one.
No, neither have I.
But then again, Widnes switched off towards the end of the second half, as per usual. Taking a bit of a Widnes bashing here, is it? Was it really that bad?
It was, yes.
It was.
Yeah.
As simple as that. Are you answering in words of two syllables now, like with Nis Cote?
Yeah, I did a very interesting interview with Dennis Betts, and you could tell he was not happy and he didn't want to talk.
In fact, we can now hear from Dennis Betts, and we're going to play that interview which you did. Just listen to this. Not a happy man at all.
Well, Dennis Betts, what a game of rugby that was.
Yeah, great, yeah. Really enjoyed it. And I was just, I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed from a lot of aspects from our game and our effort. Felt that we just got let down in certain areas again, and it's just trying to find ways of covering that up.
16-0 down, so the boys had to really roll the sleeves up and dig in to turn it around.
Oh yeah, we've just... No, we started poorly. We knew what they were going to do and knew how we would how we needed to react. We got ourselves in that situation. We started doing some things that were good, and we ended up getting something on the scoreboard. But again, I don't think it was great. It was never in a situation where you felt, oh, this is, yeah, we've got this controlled. We lacked energy, we lacked application at times, and we dropped away so quickly at times it was scary.
Fair play to Dewsbury though, they just wouldn't throw the towel in and let you get control of the game.
Yeah, they've got to give them credit. They came out and they did exactly what we knew they would do. They were big, they were strong, they had loads of effort, and they got a point out of the game.
You're obviously down in the dumps, but is there any bonuses to take from that game?
None at all, no.
Anybody in particular stand out for you then?
No, nobody.
No at all? So obviously not a good workout ahead of the whole game next week?
Not a good day really, no. I'm not happy.
Not happy, I'll leave it at that.
Back on to fan points, and Carl Beaumont said that his highlight of the Rugby League weekend was Castleford getting stuffed by Wire.
He's obviously not a Castleford fan then.
Definitely not. Andrea Jubb said she attended the Leeds against Catalan game. It was a good, solid performance by the Rhinos, but Catalans, they battled very hard. Sinfield played a blinder, and Zach Hardacre scored two tries on his return from injury. The score was only 6-0 at half-time, so pretty even. But Leeds always looked in control, and towards the end, the Dragons ran out of gas.
It's always a problem when you run out of gas. You just can't fulfil the 80 minutes. But yeah, with Leeds Rhinos, are slowly getting back to the best, aren't they? And I think that's coinciding with the fact that a couple of big guns are getting over their injuries.
I think it's coincided with you criticising them as well about 6 weeks ago, because they have never looked back,
obviously,
have they?
Obviously listen to this podcast,
they
then,
must
don't they?
Do. They must do. We must see if we can have a word with Kevin Sinfield and see whether he can name-check us somewhere. That'd be interesting. Craig Hammonds, he said he attended Souths against Wests at the ANZ Stadium.
Jammy person.
Souths hung on for the win, but shame we didn't see Big Sam or Gareth Ellis due to injury. They're missing at the moment, aren't they?
Well, I was in Dewsbury yesterday. Where would I have been this weekend? Dewsbury or Sydney? Let me have a think. Dewsbury. Yeah. It's a lot more glamorous than Sydney.
Well, I prefer to say you didn't see Gareth Ellis there either, did you?
No.
Darren Browning said he attended Featherstone Rovers taking on Halifax, and he said Featherstone, they were always in control of the game against Halifax and ran out easy winners in the end. Karen O'Connor, another Hull Kingston Rovers. We've got a lot of Robins love, haven't we, on this show this week.
Can't tell the performances are improving because they're loving the Robins.
Yeah, loved it, says Karen O'Connor. Well done, the Robins. And Steve Broomfield, he attended Sheffield versus Lee. He's just put clinical performance. Dave Madden, he also attended Sheffield v Lee, and he said, Lee are top and will stay there, bringing all the other teams. Well, we'll have to wait and see what happens with all this Arthur Thomas situation, won't we, first of all, before anything else happens, I guess.
Yeah, don't be getting too carried away just yet, young man.
Julie Davenport also attended that game and said it was an excellent try that the Eagles scored, but she's loving the way Lee are playing the game at the moment. Good rugby, nothing flash. Steve Newitt, he said Lee were far superior, but the Eagles didn't give up and scored a superb try and will only get better. Do you think that they're now a team that's on the rise?
Without a doubt, I mean, they're playing some great rugby league, haven't they? They lost that to Widnes in round one of the championship, and from that point onwards, they've never looked back, have they? It's just unfortunate this weekend they ran into a dominant Lee team.
Steve Beaton, he attended Wakefield against Crusaders, and I'm guessing he was a Wakefield fan because he's just said Bentham was a disgrace. Claire, well, she's sort of let us know. She works for a local radio station, shall we say, in the Wigan area. She said she went to Wigan. It was cold, but as for the match itself, first half okay, second half pretty dull.
Bit like the weather, wasn't it, really? It wasn't exactly summer rugby league weather this weekend.
Definitely not, no. Simon Cook, he's a Crusaders fan, and he attended Crusaders against Wakefield. He said, brilliant second half, but why can't Yestin Harris say what he says before the game, that he does at half time? We've been asking this question for months and weeks, haven't we, on this podcast, about certain coaches. They always seem to come out with a rousing speech at half time, and if they could bottle what they actually said and say it at the start, they wouldn't need to come out with that at the time that they do. And another bit of news that we've got to tell you about: on the 3rd of June, there is going to be a sponsored walk or run from the Halliwell Jones Stadium to Wrexham. That's a distance of 35 miles. Now, this is raising money for three charities. The details of this are going to be appearing on the Boots and All programme on Sky this week, but we asked for them as well. Apparently there's 15 people so far confirmed as taking part. At the moment, the charities are Warrington Curse for Tom, Help for Heroes and Kingsman Cooper. And if you want further details on everything that's going to be happening there, you can check Facebook, and that's Facebook Warrington Curse. That's going to be all kept up to date. Now, it's going to be an early start for these walkers, because they'll actually leave at 7 a.m. and the runners are leaving at 11.
And they'll get there before the game starts.
I tell you what, that deserves a mention, that, doesn't it? It's great that people are going to that length to raise money for charity.
It is, because if I was doing that, I wouldn't be getting there till next Friday.
You're going to hop it?
Yeah.
Well, that's just about all that we've got time for. Thank you once again for all your points. We've enjoyed going through those, haven't we? And we'll be back this time next week, hopefully with a special guest. But I've been saying that for the last 2 weeks, so we'll just have to wait and see.
Love rugby league as we do.